Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
In the United States, former President Donald Trump yesterday appeared in a federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. as he tried to dismiss a criminal case where he faces charges that he plotted to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Now, the three-judge panel signalled it would reject Trump's argument that his time in office entitles him to immunity from charges. Donald Trump is the frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination and left the Iowa campaign trail to attend the hearing. Well, I'm joined on the line by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. So good morning, Marion. Donald Trump arrived at the courthouse in Washington, D.C. He was under tight security and just blocks away from the US Capitol that was stormed by his supporters on the 6th of January back in 2021. So talk us through what happened in court.
Well, you know, the main takeaways, Claire, I thought were, first of all, Donald Trump really specializes in spectacularly bad lawyers. And this guy, David Sawyer, is just quite spectacular. There were three judges there, and they, you know, who really were so unimpressed, because we had a live feed from the courtroom and they were so, even the tone of their voices, the questions, they were so visibly unimpressed with what Trump's lawyer had to say, who basically said in a nutshell that Trump is, anything that Trump did while he was president, he has absolute immunity from forever after. So his argument is that, you know, any president is above the law and will be above the law from the time they enter office for the rest of their lives, no matter what they do. And one of the questions one of the judges said was, well, let's take an example of a presidential act that is technically a presidential act, but it's to do something illegal. So she said, let's say that, a president ordered the Navy SEALs to murder his political rival. Mm-hmm. Would that be okay? And Sawyer comes back and basically says, well, yeah, you know, if he was impeached and acquitted during his impeachment trial, well, yeah, then, you know, maybe if he was impeached, there could be a case. And I actually thought to myself when I was listening to this, I thought, I wonder if Joe Biden is listening and thinking, does this mean I could now order the Navy SEALs to take out Trump and I'd be fine? Because that's basically the case that mm-hmm. Sawyer was making.
And he was also saying, wasn't he, that if you allow this to happen, that you then open the door to vexatious and partisan prosecutions of former presidents. That was the thrust of his argument.
Yeah, and you know, because in the last couple of days, Trump indicated very strongly that he would indict Joe Biden if he became president again, that he would just, you know, and he said this several times, he would prosecute his enemies. So on the one hand, it seems that this is not something that they want for all presidents. This is something that would be a bespoke immunity that would just be to cater for Donald Trump exclusively. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're trying to set any principle legal precedent here or anything like this. This is like all things Trump, it's wholly self-serving. And then Donald Trump went to his former hotel afterwards, which was, of course, the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., which is now a Waldorf Astoria, held a garbled press conference. But the main takeaway from it was he was asked by a reporter as he was leaving, would he absolutely, you know, tell his supporters this time around no violence? And he refused to answer. And, you know, there's such an air of tension around 2024, Claire. And, you know, the number of, as we've heard about these swatting instances where fake calls are being brought in to people like Jack Smith, who's the special counsel, of course, who's prosecuting Donald Trump in the March 4th case, the judge Tanya Chutkan, where people are making false calls saying on Christmas Day, it was said that Jack Smith had shot his wife dead in their home. There was a fake call. Now, that would normally bring a huge police SWAT presence when you hear about a domestic, you know, a murder or a hostage taking. The marshals who are protecting him told the police, look, this is nonsense, nothing happened. But the idea is to terrorize and intimidate and to trigger a massive police response, because whenever you hear about any kind of a shooting like that, it would trigger a massive mm-hmm. response. And there is just an air of barely suppressed violence around at the moment, threats, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on that really is a very recent and worrying development.
And Donald Trump didn't have to be there yesterday. his presence wasn't required.
No, of course
not. He used it. He said that this case is disrupting my campaign in that press conference afterwards, or certainly in one of his online messages.
That's right. We all have his diary, his campaign diary. He had nothing for today, so there was nothing to be disrupted, or for yesterday, I beg your pardon. But, you know, these things are very good for Trump, he believes, because they get his supporters really riled up and they go, look at them going after Donald Trump again. They're persecuting him. And it seems to have, because until really the series of trials throughout the year, you know, we started with the New York one, the Stormy Daniels money laundering trial, which has been forgotten now, followed by the classified documents, followed by January 4th, and of course, the Georgia trial. The RICO trial, and after every indictment, his numbers went up and up, and Ron DeSantis's went down and down. So Donald Trump has figured out that this is really good for him, both as a money-making venture, a money-raising venture, and to really get his supporters motivated and fired up to turn out. And of course, he's now decided whether he does or not. We'll see. The closing arguments are being made on Thursday in his New York fraud trial case, where the New York Attorney General is looking for, I think, about $380 million in damages. He's now said that he's going to deliver the closing arguments in person. I don't know if he'd even be allowed to do that. But, you know, again, he sees it as an opportunity for him to beat that drum of persecution and victimization. And this is, they're coming after me because, you know, as he says, I stand between them and you. And this is the sort of, it really is very, very effective with his base for when he beats that drum.
And now we're looking as well at the timing of this, because we're in the lead up to the Iowa caucus, which is happening next week. That is a crucial moment as well. And that, I suppose, all feeds into that tension that you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, Iowa is an interesting one because I'm heading up there again tomorrow. And it's freezing cold up there. It's not a part of the job any of you would relish. It's about minus 15 degrees at the moment, and it's blizzards and snow and sleet, and there are all these little rubber chicken events in all these places and in diners and what have you. And the candidates all have to do it, and they're all doing multiple events. But the person who wins Iowa very rarely goes on to win the nomination, it seems. But you seem to get money and motivation and momentum and all those things out of it if you do win. The really important one, I think, is going to be New Hampshire, where Nikki Haley is really creeping up on Trump. And some polls have her down to single digits, the gap between her and Trump, whereas in Iowa, it's about 25 points. Mm-hmm. So I think that the next couple of weeks, New Hampshire tends to be a lot more decisive, but you can't miss Iowa because the people in Iowa get very, very annoyed if they feel they're being snubbed or disrespected.
And
so everyone goes to Iowa.
When is New Hampshire happening?
New Hampshire is going to be January the 23rd and Iowa is next Monday. Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is everybody up sticks and brings their woolly hats and scarves and everything else, and they go straight from Iowa and then they just land in New Hampshire and they stay there for the week. But people have been there a lot already. I mean, really, I've been to Iowa four times in the last 6 months, and there's a semi-permanent presence in both Iowa and New Hampshire. It's without the Electoral College, you wouldn't have this craziness. You wouldn't have everybody going to states where there are a couple of people, you know, per state, basically. Mm-hmm. But that's how the game is played.
So given what you said there about Nikki Haley in New Hampshire, are you saying that she is a credible challenge now to his attempt to get the Republican nomination?
Oh, so many things would have to happen for that to happen. I think the only thing I'd say there, Claire, and I know I've said this to you so many times, with American politics, you can never say never. The thing you think is impossible, as in we all thought Donald Trump 2015, it would be impossible that he become president. Most of us thought that the chance of Mia to run again successfully after the insurrection were very, very low. But here we are. Nikki Haley, I think that if she does well in New Hampshire, she already has a lot of money behind her. I just don't see how she could overtake Trump, though, on Super Tuesday. I really don't, which is when there are about 16 or 18 states. And I think it's very much in Trump's interest. And I think this bears saying the reason he's doing all this, this stunt, the presidential immunity stunt, he knows it's laughable. He knows it's ridiculous. But it keeps the court case, which was supposed to start on on March 4th, the big case in Washington. It keeps that date getting kicked back. So now he will no doubt appeal the D.C., the three judges. He'll probably try and get a full hearing in Washington, D.C., and then the Supreme Court. He's hoping that case won't start until late 24, 25. And he thinks if he can delay it through appeals, that's what will happen. Because there is a very strong belief that if he is tried and convicted before November in this case, or indeed one of the other cases, his chances, particularly the one in Georgia, the RICO case, that might really make people reconsider whether or not they want to vote for a convicted criminal and put him in the White House. And this is why Trump is trying so desperately to just keep delay is his friend in this case, and it's essential. So I think if he is tried and convicted, then I think Nikki Haley becomes more viable. But he's making sure that won't happen before Super Tuesday, when he has a lock on the whole thing as he sees it.
All right, Marion, we'll wrap up well as you head to Iowa, and I'm sure we'll speak to you in the coming days. Thanks very much, Marion.
Thanks, Claire.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.